When you work independently, experience doesn't make every decision easier. The free SMASH System self-assessment can help you see where greater clarity and perspective could help you make better decisions. Get yours at smashingtheplateau.com/clarity.
One of the things to think about is like, you're not the only one this has ever happened to. So even though it could feel very alone, very lonely, very isolating, so tap into, first of all, other people who've gone through it before, because then, you know, they've survived. You can use them as a role model or pick their brain. And most people are very generous with that. I have a 4G's philosophy of leadership that I just want to mention. It is be genuine, be generous, be gracious, and be grateful, right? So if you exhibit those qualities, be genuine means be yourself. Don't try to play a role. Don't be something you're not. Just bring your true, authentic self to the table.
Today's guest, Todd Churches, joins us to share how harnessing the power of relationships and visual thinking can transform your business journey. In this episode, Todd dives into the power of relationships and community for business success, shares how visual thinking can transform the way you communicate and lead, and reveals practical strategies to keep your business development pipeline active, even if you're an introvert. He'll explain how you can use visual tools, metaphors, and storytelling to make your ideas resonate, and why building strong connections is essential, especially for those transitioning from the corporate world to entrepreneurship. Get ready for practical tips and fresh inspiration to help you build stronger connections, communicate your vision, and thrive as you grow your business. Now let's welcome Todd Churches. Todd is the CEO and co-founder of Big Blue Gumball, a New York City-based leadership and executive coaching firm. He's a member of Marshall Goldsmith's MG 100 Coaches, a three-time award-winning adjunct professor of leadership at NYU, a lecturer on leadership at Columbia University, a TEDx speaker, and the author of the groundbreaking book, Visual Leadership, Leveraging the Power of Visual Thinking in Leadership and in Life. Todd, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, David. I always love talking to you.
Same here. Yeah. And I really love your book. I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of the principles that are in it.
Thank you.
But I wanted to start off by just mentioning that the last time you were on Smashing the Plateau, which was back in 2021, we talked about how learning can lead to success as a consultant. You know, we covered some things about what it takes to actually get a consulting business to work and work well. You and I, shortly before we're recording this, met up in person and talked about some of those things as well. So maybe we could start this episode with just a brief recap on what led you to start your business.
Sure. Well, led me to start my business was getting unceremoniously, it would have been nice to have a ceremony, but unceremoniously let go from my prior job, which was head of leadership development and executive coaching for a Wall Street financial services firm, a job I loved. I was there for 3 years. And then, that was kind of at the time of the Wall Street financial crisis. And for a long time, they did everything possible not to have layoffs, but eventually it caught up with them. And I was in that first wave of 25 people. So just regular day at work. And then my boss came in and said, hey, step into my office.
And the rest is history.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, since you were last on, how have things evolved for you?
Yeah, we talked during the pandemic. It was a completely, a lot of times I use the phrase, a whole new world, like the song from the Disney movie. It's a whole new world out there. The whole return to office versus work from home versus hybrid still continues to be controversial and challenging for companies. A lot of us who have moved into our own practices and have become entrepreneurs or solopreneurs have had to kind of figure out how to generate business. And one of the things I always say is like when you're working on business, you're not developing your pipeline and vice versa. So I think one of the key challenges is how do you keep the business coming in and do that business development side of thing, which I don't like, versus the work itself, which I love, right? So that's part of the challenge is doing that.
Yeah. Do you have any insights about how to integrate both working on the business and working in the business?
Yeah, I love that phrase. And it's finding the balance. It's carving out time. It's being more efficient and more effective. It's all about relationships and community, as you know, and we'll talk more about that. It's about keeping all those, your network alive, because a lot of my clients, all my business comes through either word of mouth or LinkedIn or referrals. And a lot of my current clients were former clients or people who I worked with at one company who went on. And so I always use the metaphor of cross-pollination, right? They leave one place, they go to another place. And when someone says, we need an executive coach or we need management leadership training, who do you know? People think back on who they worked with in the past. And that's how a lot of my business has come along.
Right. So relationships are really key.
It is key.
Right. And you know, you also, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're a speaker, you're an author, you're a teacher. How do those elements of delivering content, creating content, teaching content, how do they also play into the relationship building?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's never just one thing. It's always a mix of things. So many of my former NYU students have since become clients, right? So it wasn't like I was pitching to them, but they saw me in action. We developed that relationship. And I teach in a few different programs at NYU and Columbia, but one of them is in the Human Capital Management HR Master's program. So a lot of times my students, sometimes there's a 2 or 3, or in one case, a 7-year lag between when I first developed that initial relationship and when someone reached out to me and said, hey, we need an executive coach to work with our CEO, or we're looking to do a team building offsite, and I immediately thought of you. So it's really best, you know, I always talk about metaphors and analogies and visual imagery, but it's planting the seed, and those ideas, those relationships may not bear fruit for many years, but we need to, you know, be that Johnny Appleseed or Toddy Appleseed and plant those seeds as we go along. So it's really about developing good relationships that are mutually beneficial. Yeah, so that's what I would say.
Yeah, and Todd, given the fact that there can be such a long stretch of time between when a relationship first develops and when a sale happens, do you have any techniques that you really like to make sure that the relationships stay warm for all of that time?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the best way is through LinkedIn. It's like I live on LinkedIn. Before the pandemic, I had 4,000 connections, and now I'm up to, I think, 16,000. So, you know, connecting with people, liking, commenting on, and sharing people's posts, just sending someone a note saying, hey, let's say you read an article and it reminded you of someone, just send it to them. Hey, I saw this article, made me think of you, and here it is. And in most cases, people appreciate it and say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. Let's meet up for coffee, or let's jump on a Zoom call just to catch up. And for me, I talk loud and fast because I'm a native New Yorker, but I'm an extreme introvert. So I just wanted to mention that a lot of times people say, oh, you need to be like a wheeler, dealer, salesperson, extrovert to do this. I'm the living example of someone who I always say, push yourself out of your comfort zone and into the zone of the unknown. You know, you figure out ways that work for you that you could do it. But a lot of times, you know, that cold calling thing is like the scariest thing to me and something I really dread. But reaching out to people who you know and like and trust, there's nothing. So a lot of times you feel like you're bothering someone, but they enjoy hearing from you. And worst thing that happens is they don't respond, which happens occasionally, or you get ghosted. That's happened a couple of times. But in general, I would say 80 to 90% of people are glad to hear from you and say, hey, nice to hear from you. Hope you're doing well or whatever. So keep those relationships. And it's like plate spinning. Remember the old Ed Sullivan show? I'm dating myself, I know. But like keeping all those plates spinning simultaneously, or juggling is another metaphor, keeping all those balls or bowling pins in the air, it's a challenge. And it could get overwhelming and exhausting. So also allow yourself to take some breaks from that as well. Especially as an introvert, I get really burnt out and exhausted from doing too much of that. So it's finding that gentle balance that works for you.
Right. Do you find that LinkedIn can be overwhelming when it comes to the plate spinning, or do you find that it actually kind of funnels things in a way that's relatively easy to follow?
It can be overwhelming. You can get sucked down that rabbit hole and you go on LinkedIn for 15 minutes and it's 7 hours later and you still haven't gotten any real work done. So that could happen. You could set a timer and say, yeah, when the bell rings after 30 minutes, I'm done. Maybe I'll go back later. But yeah, there's some relationships. What's amazing is sometimes I form friendships and relationships with people who I've never spoken to and never met. But we just have these amazing LinkedIn relationships where we support each other's posts. And there's a guy named Benno in Liechtenstein, of all places. I didn't even know where that was on the map. But shout out to Benno. I'll tag him on this interview. But when he was in New York, he came to New York, let me know. And I showed him around the New York Public Library. We met up in Bryant Park, and you know, he's become a good friend who I've met. I said to my wife, I'm going to meet a good friend who I've never met before. So she's like, how is he a good friend? It's like, you just feel like you have these connections with and bonds with people based on supporting each other and just mutual interests and actually, you know, caring about the person as a person.
Right, right. And the mutual interest can also be connected by the content.
Exactly. Yeah. People in the leadership field, people who do what I do, other executive coaches, other people from New York who are not in New York anymore. So you find those commonalities. As a Yankee fan, I even crossed over and become friends with Red Sox fans. So, you know, you need to kind of like find those commonalities. I always say as a Yankee fan, you could dislike someone because they're a Red Sox fan, or you can like them because they're a baseball fan, right? There's two ways of looking at, you know, differences of opinion in today's very divisive world that we're all living in.
I love that. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about your expertise.
Sure.
Right. And visual leadership is a really fascinating concept. And I wondered if we could talk a little bit about why it's so beneficial for corporate refugees.
Sure. My catchphrase is, how do you get people to see what you're saying? Right. So that's kind of evolved over the years. We all have ideas in our heads. And when you think about leadership, the first word that tends to come to people's mind is the word vision, right? As entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, we need to have a vision. We need to have a picture in our mind's eye of a future state that's different from and better than the current reality, right? So whether it's a business idea, a service you're offering, you know, whatever it is, how are you going to, one, formulate that vision clearly so it's clear in your own head? Secondly, how are you going to communicate that vision externally out there into the real world so that you can make that vision a reality and so people can understand what it is that you do and how it's beneficial. So that's a big part of visual leadership, is taking these abstract, intangible concepts and somehow making them tangible and concrete. And you know, the best expression is, how do you make the invisible visible, right? How do you bring it to life so that other people know what you're saying, know what you're selling, et cetera. So that's a big part of visual leadership, is using four ways: visual imagery, mental models, metaphors, and storytelling to communicate your ideas so that other people can understand what you're talking about and what you have to sell and what you have to offer to them.
Yeah. Can you go through those four a little bit and maybe talk about in particular how they might apply to a corporate refugee?
Sure. I mean, as a corporate refugee, you have your life experiences, your world experiences, your paradigms, the lens through which you see the world. You need to think about, all right, where do I fit into the ecosystem of the, you know, the global business world, right? Where there's, how, what can I offer? What can I bring to the table? I use a framework. Someone once said to me, and this is kind of how it evolved and developed. Someone said, I want to write a leadership book. What tips do you have for me? I'm like, first of all, we need more leadership books, because there are only, you know, 8 billion of them out there in the world on Amazon on the bookshelves. So I said, what other leadership books is yours similar to? And then he gave me a list. It's kind of like this, kind of like this, kind of like this. Then I said, how is it different from them? Because if it's not different, what do we need yours for? Here's how it's different. And then I said, here, how is it better? Like, what does yours offer that the others don't? So just that one framing, and this applies to any entrepreneur, solopreneur, whatever you're offering, whatever service, business, product, whatever, and what other things is it similar to? So using analogy to say, this is kind of like that. How is it different? What are you bringing to the table that no one else can? And how is it better? What is the benefit of working with you, or the product or service? So just that similar to, different from, better than framing is really powerful. So just, again, that metaphor of using an analogy to explain what you do is very effective. Like when I used to work in the TV industry, people would come in to us when I worked at CBS, people from different production companies would come in and pitch TV ideas, and they would say, well, it's kind of like Sopranos combined with Golden Girls, like just off the top of my head, my real life example, Miami Vice, it was pitched by saying it's MTV Cops, right? Think about when Miami Vice first came out. It was combining music videos and a traditional cop show into a new hybrid way of doing things. So figure out how you could communicate what you're talking about in a way so that your stakeholder, your listener, your audience, your investor, your potential customer can understand what you're talking about. So if you use visual imagery, if you use visual language, if you use metaphor and stories, those are ways to express your idea and to communicate to the other person what's in your head. Because again, I always say people are not mind readers. It may be very clear in your own mind, but if you can't articulate it in such a way that the other person gets it, then the idea just dies right then and there.
Right. So is that the first of the four?
Well, it's kind of a combination. So the first one is using visual imagery. Can use a PowerPoint slide, can use an image that you took on your phone, can use a prop, what can you show people? A diagram, a mind map, a storyboard. What can you visually show people that they can see with their eyes? So that's category one, using something that is visual to the eye. Category two is using some kind of mental model or framework. It could be like a ladder, a staircase, a circle, a four-box matrix, a flow chart. How could you use some kind of put what you're talking about into some kind of framework so that people can wrap their head? I would say, you know, life and world, the world is messy and complex. If you could simplify complexity, and you want to think outside the box, which has become a cliche, but I always say you can't think outside the box until you have a box with something in it. So how can you box up what you're offering so that people can say, okay, I get it. I understand. I could see what you're talking about. Thirdly is the category of metaphor and analogy. I just kind of talked about that. If you could say what you're talking about is kind of like this, then you're helping people connect the dots, which again is an idiom or a metaphor, to understand what you're talking about. And stories. People are going to ask you, tell me about this time that you actually used this when it worked. Have you ever worked with a client like us? Have you ever worked in our industry before? Those are words or phrases or questions that will trigger a story where you share an example from your background that brings to life and gives you credibility and sells the other person on, this person understands what I'm talking about and you've sold me, and it's through storytelling that people understand what we're saying. So that's kind of like a really brief, in a nutshell, again, another idiom, explanation of those four buckets. And they are interrelated and they work in combination, but I like to break them down into those four categories because it helps people to wrap their minds around it.
Right. And for corporate refugees, you see this primarily as a business development tool?
It's everything. It's business development. It's helping to design a program for someone or offer a service. It's a way of communicating. And even the phrase you use, corporate refugees, is a metaphor, right? If you think about it, what makes someone a refugee from the corporate world is they're no longer working for an organization. They're now out there on their own, right? They need to figure out where can I land? Where can I find a new home for what I have to offer? So just, it hadn't hit me before until you just used that phrase again. But yeah, that's a metaphor that brings to mind a lot of different imagery for different people.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, in today's marketplace where there seems to be a fair amount of chaos and uncertainty, mm-hmm. how are you seeing tools like visual leadership help organizations do better and or help solopreneurs make better connections so that they're able to do business with these organizations?
Yeah, I mean, there's a common acronym out there, VUCA, which you kind of alluded to. VUCA stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So we're living in a world that is more volatile than ever, right? It's very heated and it's divisive. It's uncertain. Things are changing constantly. It's very hard to predict one quarter away, let alone a year from now. It's more complex than ever, and it's more ambiguous than ever. So one of the things that we could do, to use a metaphor, is serve as a lighthouse or serve as a beacon, help our potential clients see through that fog of uncertainty, to cut through the clutter, to wrap their heads around things. So a lot of times companies may not have, a lot of companies are cutting back on resources, they're cutting back on people. One of the things that we could do is be an external resource. And because we work with a lot of different companies, a lot of different industries, a lot of different organizations, we have a lot of experience and what we see out there. We have a lot of knowledge that we can bring to an organization that they may not have internally. Because a lot of times internal in a certain organization or in the industry, they're very internally focused. We can help to provide an external perspective and help them see possibilities or ideas or solutions that maybe they're too close to or they can't see the forest for the trees kind of thing. And that's something that we could really offer to our clients.
Yeah. Have you seen cases where decisions perhaps get made that have been stalled or where there may be unusual opportunities because of the visual leadership techniques that you use?
Yeah, and again, it's another way of thinking and communicating, right? I call it visual leadership its very simple definition is the application of visual thinking to the practice of leadership, right? And what is visual thinking? It's about seeing things in our mind's eye. It's about using all these visual techniques like metaphors and stories and imagery to bring things to life. So a lot of us are selling the invisible. A lot of us are offering products and services that people can't wrap their heads around. You know, AI as an example, right? A lot of people are still trying to figure out, what is it? How do we use it? You know, how can we leverage the power of AI? That's something that if that's an area of expertise for you, you could bring that expertise into a company, help them navigate that and figure that out, because they may not have the internal knowledge, but you can say, I just did something similar to another with another client in another industry. You have certain knowledge that they may not have. So that's that's part of the visual thinking, is can you see things through a lens that your client can, and then can you help them see things that maybe they haven't seen before or they're not even clear on, seeing solutions, seeing opportunities. So that's a big part of the visual language is, visualization. Like, for example, my softball team just lost in the playoffs, just before, one game short of the championship. But, before stepping up to the plate, you want to visualize the pitcher. You want to visualize how many outs there are, how many base runners there are, what's the score of the game, what inning it is. If you don't think about any of these things and just step up to the plate, you're going up there blind, to use a metaphor, right? You want to visualize in your mind's eye, where are the runners? Where am I trying to hit to the right side and move the runners over? Am I trying to hit a home run? Because, so you want to picture what a potential future might look like, because that's going to influence the decisions you make and the actions you take. So just the process of using visualization the night before a big meeting the next day, picture who am I meeting with? I have a model in my book. It's the pizza slice chapter, where I call my 7 P's of communication. It leads you to 7 steps, all starting with the letter P, that, who's the person I'm talking to? What are the key points I want to make? What are my priorities in this meeting? And I'm just going off the top of my head to memorize all the 7 P's. But if you just go in and wing it, you're probably going to be not as successful as if you think through those 7 P's and actually go in with a game plan and visualize what do you want. I always say, before any communication, what do you want people to think, feel, know, and most importantly, do at the end of it? If you don't strategize that, you don't know what you're going to get. It may be successful, it may not be, but you want to at least envision what a positive outcome is going to look like, or an ideal world.
Yeah, of course, because if you envision it, then you can at least plan to take some actions that you think will lead to that kind of outcome.
Yeah, it's not like, some people say, oh, it's like manifesting. It's nothing magical or mystical, like manifesting a sale. It really is just thinking through what is the outcome. It's asking, what are the FAQs, right? What are the questions this person may ask me, and being prepared to answer them, as opposed to getting caught like a deer in the headlights, metaphor, right? When you put on the spot, if you're in a meeting with your boss or the board of directors or whatever, visualize, anticipate, what am I going to be asked? Who am I talking to? What are their interests and priorities? What are they like, their likes and dislikes? Just visualizing all that in advance will help to set you up for success.
Yeah, it's really great advice, Todd. And I want to go back to what we talked about towards the beginning about building relationships. Yeah. And in particular, I wonder what advice you might have for a new corporate refugee to tap into community to support their success.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things to think about is, you're not the only one this has ever happened to. So even though it could feel very alone, very lonely, very isolating, so tap into, first of all, other people who've gone through it before, because then, they've survived. You can use them as a role model or pick their brain. And most people are very generous with that. I have a 4G's philosophy of leadership that I just want to mention. It is be genuine, be generous, be gracious, and be grateful, right? So if you exhibit those qualities, be genuine means be yourself. Don't try to play a role. Don't be something you're not. Just bring your true, authentic self to the table. Be generous. Look to give rather than to get. Right? When you're meeting with someone, don't be thinking about what can they do for me. Think about what can I do for them. And then very often what goes around comes around. But it's a great way to form a true, genuine, authentic relationship. This is not my own original stuff. This is Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People 101 from 1932, right? So be genuine.
But it works.
It does work. It's timeless. Some things are timely and some things are timeless. Some things are both. His principles, when you read that book, there's a lot of stories about like Woodrow Wilson, right? May not be relevant in today's day and age, but if you look at those Dale Carnegie principles of human behavior, like, for example, it's better to be interested than interesting. That's one of the chapters I stole from him to use in my book, and there's a story behind it. But if you're more interested in the other person, you seem more interesting to them. And then they want to get to know you more. But if it's all me, 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 then people move on to the next person and right, they don't care. So be genuine, be yourself, be generous in terms of giving, be gracious in terms of forgiving, polite, et cetera. You know, be human, basically, and be grateful. If you go from, you know, have that attitude of gratitude and just appreciate little things and gestures and thank people for small favors, again, it reflects well on you as a human. So just practicing those four G's can go a long way. So again, So that's a long answer to when you find yourself a corporate refugee, reach out to other people, leverage LinkedIn, leverage Facebook, ask other people, what can I do for you instead of just what can you do for me? I just wrote a blog post about this on LinkedIn actually just last week about there's that classic Confucian saying, if you need shade, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. So some people say, well, I'm so far behind, I should have done this a long time ago. Yes, probably, but you know what? Then start today, right? One person at a time. I just mentioned I have about 16 or 18,000 followers and connections on LinkedIn. I had 4,000 before the pandemic. And I said to my students, how many connections did I have when I first joined LinkedIn? Zero, right? So those 16,000 started with zero. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So wherever you are, don't feel stress and pressure, then kick yourself and have all these regrets. I should have done this. Yes, you probably should have, but you didn't. That's fine. Start today. What can I do today to plant that seed? So when I turn around 5 years, 10 years from now, I can look back on today and say, I'm glad I started when I did, and better late than never. So that's the thing. Don't beat yourself up. Have grace, not only for other people, but for yourself, and then build from wherever you are right now.
All such great advice, Todd.
Thank you.
Yeah. Todd, if someone wants to go deeper with anything that you shared today, get a copy of your book, get in touch with you, learn more about you, where's the best place to go?
Sure. The best place is LinkedIn. So just connect with me on LinkedIn. Say, I saw you on David's show and connect with me. Drop me a note. Secondly, visit my website, toddchurches.com. You can find more on visual leadership. You can find my TED talk on the power of visual thinking and more information about my book. And then, yeah, if you pick up a copy of my book, very exciting. It was just translated into Mandarin and will be released in China sometime before the end of this year. So that opens up a whole new market and a whole new world. Remember, we started with a whole new world. It'll be interesting. And one of the reasons they found it interesting was because the visual nature of what I do and what I talk about crosses cultural and language barriers. And so it really, these are human stories. A lot of times people say, well, I'm not a manager, I'm not a leader. We're all leaders, even if you're just leading and managing your own life, right? You're a leader and a manager. These are basically human skills that we could develop. And regardless of what you do, they will help you to become a better visual thinker, communicator, and leader. So those are my LinkedIn with me. Check out my TED Talk and pick up a copy of my book and let me know what you think.
Great. And congratulations on the translation, getting the book out in China. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Todd, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau, share some great insights, and including a lot of words in a very short amount of time. As you said, you're from New York and you talk fast. Huh. My guest today has been CEO and executive coach, Big Blue Gumball, Todd Churches. Thank you, Todd, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
When you work independently, you make important decisions every day without the colleagues and perspectives that larger organizations provide. The free SMASH System self-assessment helps you step back and reflect on what's working, where you may be getting stuck, and where greater clarity or outside perspective could help you move forward. Better decisions begin with seeing your situation more clearly. Get the free SMASH System self-assessment at smashingtheplateau.com/clarity. That's smashingtheplateau.com/clarity.